This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Indigenous Peoples Day is Monday. An urban native collective is hosting an Indigenous Peoples Day convergence starting Friday to celebrate the resilience and resistance of Native people and shine a light on the contemporary issues they face. Joining me now to discuss the exhibition that's part of the convergence and the artists and issues it highlights are Urban Native Collective Executive Director Brianna Mazzolini Blanchard. Welcome back, Brianna.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, Lucy.
Hi. Artist and curator Leonard Harmon. Thanks for being here, Leonard.
Thank you.
And artist and educator Rebecca Nava Soto. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you.
I want to ask each of you this. I'll start with you, Brianna. Okay. For generations, the second Monday in October was observed as Columbus Day in the U.S. President Biden was the first U.S. president to commemorate Indigenous Peoples Day in 2021. Other states and localities had observed it before then. But what has that federal acknowledgement meant to you?
I think that's a really loaded question, of course. But, you know, we as Indigenous people understand just like the carnage and homicidal, you know, mentality of a person like Columbus and what that meant as our country to celebrate that. And so I think for me anyway, as an Indigenous person, for President Biden to acknowledge Indigenous Peoples Day is acknowledging the people that were here, you know, Columbus tried to convince us that, you know, there were no people here, and that's just untrue. And so it's really recognizing the honest, true history of this country and this land.
Rebecca, what did that mean to you when President Biden acknowledged that in 2021?
Well, honestly, I think that it was reassuring. My parents immigrated here from Mexico, and we've been part of immigrant communities here in Cincinnati since the 80s. And you know, I've always known that these immigrants from Mexico and Central America really are, by and large, indigenous people. You know, Mexico, for example, is the population there is between 65% to 90% indigenous. And so I think it's an honoring of the reality that's here, that's always been here, that was here 3,500 years ago and continues to be here today. Without the current borders, there's been that pan-indigenous North American continent community, you know, that stretches all the way down to Central America, up to Canada and Iceland. We were talking about this, Lenny, earlier. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's moving in the right direction.
What do you think, Leonard?
Well, to me, there's actually a really close connection to this. Being that President Biden is from the state of Delaware and my family, my father's community is from the state of Delaware, we had been meeting with Biden for very long before he even became president. So he actually made a promise to our community and he actually kept it. This may be a different direction of how he made a promise to us, but he kept his word.
Yeah. Brianna, I mentioned Urban Native Collective is hosting the upcoming Indigenous Peoples mm-hmm. Day Convergence. Give us a feel for some of what the convergence will include. We're going to talk about the art and the exhibition, mm-hmm. but it goes even beyond that.
It does. And so this is a 4-day-long celebration, and we are grateful to be in our 6th year celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day as a community here in Cincinnati. And a little bit of a sneak peek of what people can expect is that Friday evening, we will have an exhibition opening party at the Contemporary Arts Center from 5 to 9 p.m. We will have artwork on display at the Contemporary Art Center, along with our larger exhibition at the 21C next door. We will have traditional powwow drummers and dancers and singers, a native DJ, and just, you know, rallying our community together to celebrate. Saturday morning, we will have a speaker series at the 21C from 9:30 to 1:30, and folks will get to listen to each of our artists in our exhibition share a little bit about their artwork, about this theme of Native resistance, and just how that is intertwined. And then on Monday night at 5 o'clock, we will have a community feast at Hoffner Park. And so we invite everyone in the community to attend these events. They are free and open to the public, and we really just look forward to celebrating with you all.
You mentioned Native resistance. Mm-hmm. Why was that theme chosen?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we think about Native resistance, resistance is really this word that came to be because of the effects of colonization and, you know, as we're talking about Columbus. And so these aren't words that were traditionally in our dialogue as Indigenous people, but became words that we had to use because we had to, you know, take action against colonization and imperialism and many, many things. And so as I think about Native resistance, existence, I really think about how our existence, being here, existing as people in Ohio that has an incredibly dark history, that our existence through our art, our culture, our community, our dancing, our singing, all of these things, our existence is that resistance.
We're talking about a new art exhibition that celebrates Indigenous communities and shines light on the contemporary issues they face. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Leonard, how does this artwork specifically address contemporary issues that are affecting Indigenous people?
Well, you'll see a few artists that really hit the point of where their past has came from. For instance, there's an artist named Carlos Ramirez that's in the show. You'll see a lot of in his paintings about how he's been oppressed as an Indigenous person in California. And he's a Latin American artist. So his thing is on the, I think it's called like the Grapevine. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it's a, it has to do with the Mexican-American people coming up and working in the fields in California. So a lot of his work you'll see in that hits that. I think you'll see a little bit of mix of each person's community within their work.
Rebecca, talk about some of your work and what you're really reflecting.
Sure. And I'm just listening to Lenny. I'm so excited to meet all these artists this weekend and see their work in person. So how does it relate? I think about how all of these different artists have, the Indigenous world within them. There's so many stories of that, so many different perspectives that these artists are going to bring, and that each of us have adapted, transformed, and survived. That Indigenous spirit has survived within us, you know. And for me personally, listening to Brianna talk about resistance and I think about how in my education growing up in the arts, I went through the Western European canon of art history and was so fortunate to be able to take a pre-Columbian art history class as a specialized course in my senior year at DAP and with Professor Joe Face. And there I learned of this really vast and extensive and complex Indigenous art history, this world that, as a matter of fact, I was from, a descendant from. And so that really excited me, interested me, and put me on this path to decide to follow my own way of reconnecting to my own Indigenous art history. And it's just been a journey since then, and it's been expansive, enriching. And most recently, in 2019, I really started to really bring in those teachings of art and spirituality in particular into my life that became the most transformative experience for me personally. And so even though I had always had studied art history, Indigenous art history, something happened in that point that really was so necessary for me personally. And so I really am excited to see how others are connected to their indigeneity. And I want people to... I'm so happy to be a part of this exhibition that honors these voices and this lineage, from all these places,
And art can be difficult to talk about. I can't wait to see it. So seeing it is one thing, but talking about it can be challenging. Can you describe some of your art for us at all, Rebecca? Like how it reflects what you've learned, what you're bringing into your life?
Sure. So I grew up making these wood shaving ephemeral pieces in the immigrant communities, the Catholic communities, actually, here in currently in Carthage. There's one, there's been one in Price Hill and all over. And leading up to, in Semana Santa, leading up to Easter, we would make these Catholic iconography floor paintings with these wood shavings. And so through the studying of the art history, of Indigenous art history that I've studied, I realized that these actually predate Catholic and Christian influences, European influences. And so I took that material and revisited the language of, personally, the glyphic writing systems of Mesoamerica, which, I studied with abstract painters, right? But there was a parallel abstract language in art that was happening in the Maya glyphic writing. In particular, that's what I've studied more in depth, where they took man-made and natural forms and distilled them down to the most salient points as a process of abstraction. And so my work is, in that language, more poetic, more open language of abstraction, inspired by glyphic writing, inspired by healing practices that have helped me personally, and wood shavings. And wood shaving, you know, I use that as a way to connect to that, to that, that lineage, and that to sort of thread into the continuum of what's, you know, what's part of my lineage. So I do a lot of ephemeral installations, but I've got some sculptural pieces. I've also have paper pieces inspired by the piñatas that I would make as a kid, or Mexican paper flowers with my mother and family. And also the paper art is has roots inspired by indigenous paper-making art forms as well that predate, you know, the current piñatas that we see today. Oh. So it's interesting to research back and see those connections. Yeah.
Leonard, it sounds like a terrific exhibition. How did you decide which art and artists to include? That had to have been tough.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. I know every artist in the show personally. And I think that's what it was. I know this sounds kind of funny, but I wanted to put my friends on. You know, I had an opportunity to be able to do work here in Cincinnati, and the first thing I thought was, I have to put my indigenous friends on. You know, I I've been lucky enough to be in Cincinnati quite a bit. I've shown my work in Cincinnati a few times, 21C, and I also have some work at Wavepool right now.
And tell us a little bit about your work.
My work?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a jack of all trades. I work with a lot of our traditional work. I do porcupine quill work. I'm actually doing some work for the TMA, the Toledo Museum of Art, right now. So I try to tap into my family's traditional work with basketry and quill work. My uncle, his name was Leonard Allen Harmon. He was becoming a very famous and important indigenous artist, but unfortunately he was taken from us from AIDS in the 80s. So I'm also revisiting his work as well and trying to find that connection between us. I mean, I was named after him, so, and I was his favorite. So yeah, I think I'm just tapping into my family's past and showing it any way I can. So I work with video work, photography, massive collage paintings like I've done at the Cincinnati Art Museum. I'll anything that excites me, I'll do it.
Yeah, that's what creativity is all about,
right?
Yep. Brianna, is part of the idea of this work to really challenge old narratives or images about Native people? What role does that the exhibition play in terms of the, in those terms?
Yeah, most definitely. And not only is our Indigenous Peoples Day convergence an opportunity to amplify contemporary indigeneity, a lot, if not most of the work that Urban Native Collective does is to amplify contemporary indigeneity. You know, we live in Ohio that has an incredibly old history. We don't have any federal or state recognized reservations. All of the indigenous tribes that once called this land home were forced out of the state and out west. And so there isn't this large tribal presence here. However, there are over 98,000 indigenous people in this region. And it is important that we're no longer viewing them in the past and, you know, appropriating or romanticizing this old idea of what it means to be an American Indian and a Native person here. And so, yes, the exhibition, the convergence, is our largest event that we do to highlight contemporary, authentic artwork in our community and all over the country, to enjoy indigenous and contemporary indigenous food, culture, music, and just show the community that we are here and we are here in numbers.
Rebecca, Brianna mentioned this earlier. So much of the history that Native people have endured in this country is brutal, and it's important to understand that and acknowledge it. It sounds like this exhibition is also about making sure that there's work that centers around resilience and joy. Talk about that focus and what your work brings to that. And, if that's important to you, why that's so important.
It's interesting. Yes, I was just talking to my sister about this yesterday, and the fact that, or the other day, that we carry a lot of generational trauma, and that shows up in various different ways that can be problematic, you know, for the individual and for society. But I now have learned that, you know, that we also carry this medicine within us. Mm-hmm. We carry this potency that if we open ourselves up to it and ask for it, and, you know, through means of dancing, of art, of even silent communion, you know, we can feel like this extraordinary, limitless potential come to us. And that's part of the reconnection. And so, and joy, absolutely. I think it's important to have that awareness that many of our social justice artivists, indigenous artists, bring to the forefront to show the realities of, you know, the atrocities that have happened. But equal measure, I believe we need to have those modalities of healing through art and through music and through community and even language. And so also, I think it's important to have the future vision of what the world will look like, you know. So all these have to be held in balance with each other, I believe. And so going to be so exciting to see all of these different aspects represented in this exhibition and in this weekend in full. Yeah.
Yeah. Leonard, you talked about how your work is, you harken back to traditional work. Do you feel like it's important to reflect that resilience, that joy? What role do those feelings play in your work?
I don't know. I see a lot in dreams. You know, that's where all my ideas come through. And I guess I've been told a lot that I have the same hands as my dad and my uncle. So every time I'm working with my hands, I see them. You know, my ancestors are always on my back. They're taking me where I need to go. The path that I need to go, they're leading me there. That's that resilience, because I know they're there. You know, sometimes I can hear my uncle in my ear like, you need to do it this way. And like, okay, I'll do it that way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And do you want to address that, Brianna? Is the idea of joy important in this convergence, in this work that you're doing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, as I mentioned earlier, just all of these ways that we show up, what Native resistance really means, and it means our continual existence, and that is manifested through, honestly, sometimes most importantly, our joy, because we will continue on as we have since time immemorial. And it is only with our community and through our joy and our culture and our ancestors guiding us and the hope for the next seven generations that we will continue on as people, as we have thus far. And so joy is such an integral part of that to fill us up I can't even really communicate how important it is.
Yeah. Leonard, you were talking about your ancestors. I read that you have fond memories of traveling to powwows with your parents. And, you know, I read quotes from you about how important that connection to your culture has been. Do you see events like this convergence, like this exhibition, as another way to help people connect with the culture?
For instance, you just made a great point. There was a young lady that was in the show last year, and she came out with her mother. Her mother didn't even know she was Native for the longest time. And here's a lady that's in her 60s, and she didn't connect with her people until that show, where it all hit her at once. And I've never seen somebody be so emotional, but for good reason, because she found herself again. What's been lost for so long came back out in this show, seeing the people dancing and everything. She felt that connection. So I feel like it does it for a lot of people. She's not the first person that has came to me and been like, I know a little bit more about my background now. This helped me. Now I want to research. I think we all need that. And not just as Indigenous people, we all need that that one connection that brings us back to who we are and where we came from. And I feel that's very important. So I ask everybody, Indigenous, non, to come to the show. Maybe it might bring that connection back to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been talking with Urban Native Collective Executive Director Brianna Mazzolini Blanchard, artist and curator Leonard Harmon, and artist and educator Rebecca Nava Soto. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Urban Native Collective's Indigenous Peoples Day Convergence starts Friday, October 11th and continues through Monday, October 14th. You can find a link with more information on our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer, Selena Reeder, associate producers, Asiya Johnson, technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.